Message today is the necessity of his presence, a priority on his presence. I found this this slide here, and every opportunity, every day God gives us an opportunity to have a prayer meeting. Now, growing up, some of you probably understood this phrase, prayer meeting, as a revival service or as a special service that happened, you know, other than just Sunday morning and Wednesday night. There was a prayer meeting going on, and it ends up being a revival. Every day we have an opportunity to have a special prayer meeting with God. And it's on us to make it a priority. It's on you to make it a priority. Just think of all the things that people make a priority of doing. Some people, they make it a priority that I won't go to work unless I have a cup of coffee. I gotta have my coffee. You make it a priority. You stop wherever you normally, you know, on the way to work, or maybe you make it your own, you know, to save some money. But there's so many things that people make a priority on every single day. You make a priority to eat. I mean, some of you have your spot of where you go to have lunch. Some of you brown bag it. You take it to work, and you know, you make your lunch. You make it a priority. I'm bringing a lunch to work. You make it a priority, but yet, time to be in his presence doesn't seem to be on the high priority list. Shannon mentioned it this morning, and she could have went on, but you know, the Lord wasn't leading her to go on, but making a priority about being in God's house. I'm thankful for you that you're here on Sunday night. A lot of people don't make it a priority. They'll make a priority to go to many other things in life, many other attractions, or many other, maybe it's, meeting with other people, going out to eat, going to the gym. They make it a priority. I came across this one story of a man who would always go to McDonald's. Elderly man, he'd go to McDonald's and have his cup of coffee, but he would go and have time with the Lord. And he went there so much that McDonald's actually gave him a, you know, honorary customer kind of a thing. I don't know if, I don't remember the story saying that they put a plaque, you know, on McDonald's, but they knew him by name because he made a priority. I can think of other places to have better cups of coffee than McDonald's, but he made it a priority. I'm going to have a cup of coffee with the Lord. And it was his time to read the word or just sit with the Lord. I don't know if he, you know, told other people that, you know, knew him, hey, leave me alone, I'm having time with God. I don't know if he did that, but he went there every day. We can make priority of a lot of things in life, but it is vital that we make a priority of being in his presence. And know this, I'm at fault at that. Because there are days that I have lots of things to do on my to-do list. And as soon as my feet hit the ground, they start running. And so I am not speaking to you like I've gotten it down pat myself. But I know the importance of being in his presence. And I know that while I'm driving, instead of listening to a bunch of other stuff, I can turn things off and actually talk to him while I'm driving. Talk to him about the other people that can't drive on the road too. But I talk to him about, you know, while I'm driving. And so I'm learning that. And so the whole sermon today, or what I'm going to try to share in the next few moments, is Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. And it was really neat because it's just really cool when the Lord's speaking to you, and then there's a video or a sermon or somebody mentioning something, somebody posting little nuggets of truth that God spoke to you, and how it kind of reflects of what you know, God's already been speaking to you. And so this is from Exodus chapter 33, Moses. I'm just going to read verse 11 and then we can sit down. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend, and he would return to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. You may be seated. If I can get, let's see, get my boys and Caleb and Noah, come on up here. I put this tent up myself, but there's a tent right over there, guys. If you guys want to come on up and kind of quietly work together and put it up. And oh, there goes. All right, just put it on up right up here and just kind of quietly work together. And all right, so while they work on that, here we find that Moses is face-to-face with God. Now, I want to kind of point out something that I hope that I have time to, because later on we find out what God said to Moses, because Moses really wanted to be in God's presence, really wanted the glory of God, and God said, you can't handle that. But what I am going to do is I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock, and I'm going to put my hand out, and when I'm going by, because you really can't, because no one can see my face and live. So when we read here that God is speaking, or that God is speaking to Moses as face to face, as a man speaks to his friend, it's not that God is lying. And I really feel the need to mention this, but there are times when we can have moments with God, and it's like moments with a friend. They are special, and it's like a friend that really knows you. That you have an attitude, and a friend can really put you in your place because that's your friend. Nobody else go, hey, wait a minute, who are you to talk to me that way? That's not really a close friend. But when a close friend really speaks to you and encourages you and challenges you, those are special moments. And so I wanted to point this out because it might sound to some that God is contradicting himself. Because it says that Moses is speaking to God face to face as a man speaks to his friend. But then later on, God says, no, you can't see my face because no man can see me and live. But yet I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. I'm going to put my hand out and you'll see where I'm going. And that's one of the great things that we need to understand, is that in moments with God, he will show us where he wants us to go so that we know how to follow. This is why in the presence of God, it's a necessity to be in his presence. It's a necessity to be in his presence daily. Hey, Jim, if they're having a difficult time, because that's your tent, you can come on up and help them. So let's go to Exodus chapter 33. All right. Exodus chapter 33, verses 1 through 3 says this. The Lord says to Moses, depart and go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your descendants I will give it, and I will send my angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanite, and the Amorite, and the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst, lest I consume you on the way, for you are stiff-necked people. Do you know that there are today still stiff-necked people in our world today? Don't look to the person to your right or your left. That's not nice. But something terribly wrong had just occurred in chapter 32. The Israelites grew bored or impatient as they were waiting for Moses to return. Where was Moses? On the mountain with God. But Moses took too long according to their schedule. And Moses took too long on the mountain, and they said this, Exodus 32, verse 1. When the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, come, make us gods that shall go before us. Now notice what they say, what they said. For as for this Moses, I could kind of picture it in my head. For as this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what's become of him. So Aaron, in all of his wisdom, thank you guys. You can sit there. Matter of fact, where is the, oh, right here. All right, There we go. Hey, Luke, you like the beach? Come on, sit right here. Luke is at the beach. Oh, hey. Put these on. You're good. All right.
They're going to be my props for tonight. So something went terribly wrong. And they said, for as this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what's become of him. So Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people broke off the golden earrings. They brought them to Aaron, and he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. Then they said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. Israel had a tendency of forgetting whose they were, kind of going back to my Wednesday night's message, forgetting of whose they were, forgetting what God had done. God had brought them out of Egypt. God, they had just seen the Red Sea, where still to this day, I'm trying to figure out where in my moments did I forget that God did some amazing thing, a miraculous thing, as God did for the Israelites. The Red Sea parted and they walked on dry ground. Wagons, all the animals, all the kids on dry ground, and how they can come to this point here and say, oh, Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt, this is your God, a golden statue. Nothing can replace God. Nothing can replace his presence. Nothing. Going to work, hearing your favorite Christian song, is not going to replace your presence, your time and presence with God, unless that song just totally takes you. You got to go off the side of the road and lift up your hands and just worship, because the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit and Almighty God are in this same car with you and you're just worshiping him. But nothing can replace who God is, and even the precious time of being with him. My first point is God's presence is cherished, not created. We can't create God's presence. It's already there. I mean, how could they even think that a gold calf replaces God? And that the calf is right there in their midst, so now God's presence is with them. And we here today, we can say, man, there are moments that I replace, you know, just one chapter is my time with God. No. You can read two chapters and that's still not your time of presence with God. Because how many of you can attest to this? You can read and read, after you read one chapter or two chapters, maybe the Holy Spirit will say, what have you read today? And you can't remember what you read, but you went ahead and started from chapter one and you finished at chapter two. What did you do? You just read. But did you take anything? Did you find any nugget of truth? I encourage you, those of you that are on social media, if there is a nugget of truth that God shares with you, say, God, is this something that I can put on social media that will bless somebody else? If it's just something for you, then hold it, cherish it, apply it. But if it's something that God says, hey, you know what? You ought to put that on Facebook. Hey, you know what? You ought to put that on. You ought to put that image or that verse on Instagram. You ought to share the link to that sermon on Facebook so that other people can hear it. So I encourage you that God's presence is cherished, not created. So Israel or Aaron thought that this idol would best represent God in his presence, and nothing can do that. People who faithfully spend time with God in his presence will rarely forget God and his instructions for them. So I want to go back to Exodus 33, verse 11, my very first verse, where it says, the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend, and he would return to the camp. So Moses was talking to God, but it says that God returned to the camp. Now I tried to go back and find out, when did it say in scripture that Moses told Joshua, hey Joshua, let's together go up to the mountain and spend time in presence with God? Can't find it. But we do know that Joshua is with him. Why? Because it says here, Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle, meaning the tent of meeting. Tent, get it? Of meeting. So as, you can open this. You don't want anybody to see. As Moses went, because of what was going on with the ruckus of all the people, what they were doing, Joshua stayed there. Now, I don't understand or know, what was Joshua doing? What was he doing? He understood the importance of his presence. So no wonder, out of the 100,000 other young men that were growing up in the wilderness, that God would choose the guy that stuck around in the tent of meeting to lead God's people into the promised land. It says it was Joshua. It didn't say there was a bunch of guys. It actually said Joshua. And how many of you, sometimes when you read scripture, you see a name and then you wonder, is this the same guy? We know this is the same guy because it says Joshua, the son of Nun. And there was only one Joshua. And he's in the tent of meeting. It is important that we see it is vital that we see the importance of being in God's presence. People who faithfully spend time with God in his presence will rarely, I say, I even have it in bold letters and highlighted, will rarely forget God and his instructions for them. A lot of Old Testament saints, they spent time with God, but we all know none of them are perfect, right? There were times that they failed, like Elijah. I mean, great things, but yet he's running away from somebody he's not supposed to run to or run away from. If he would remind himself whose he was, he would have said, what lady's after me? You could tell her where she can find me. I'm not sweating her. I'm not afraid of her. And he wouldn't have done that. So, of course, they weren't perfect, but Moses' reaction of the flesh, that's what kept him from entering even in the promised land. I just want to go here real quick. Numbers chapter 20, verses 4 through 5. Why have you brought up the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness that we and our animals should die here? This is the complaint of the people of Israel. They're complaining to Moses and Aaron. Why did you bring us out of the into the wilderness and so that we and our animals can die here? And then it continues to go on in verse 5. And why have you made us come up out of Egypt? They would have rather stayed in slavery instead of being free by God to bring us into this evil place. It is not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink. We need to take note what Moses and Aaron did, because they did this a lot because the people of Israel complained a lot. They went to God. My next point is cultivate daily moments with God, because this will help you that when people complain, when you go into difficult situations in life, in the presence of God, you'll know what to do. You'll know whose you are. You'll be reminded of what he already told you to do, so that you'll know what direction and you'll have the wisdom needed to make those decisions. So cultivate daily moments with God. The word cultivate is defined as to prepare or prepare and use for the raising of crops, to improve by labor, care, or study, to foster the growth of. Now, I like those words, and you're probably thinking, well, that word cultivate is a word that's used in horticulture and planting, whatever. What do you think we're supposed to do? We're supposed to grow in the knowledge of God. We're supposed to grow in who we're supposed to be, who we're supposed to become as children of God. And then our faith grows. We mature in our faith. And so it's important that we understand this, that, you know, the ABCs of salvation, we ought to know more scriptures than just the ABCs of salvation. We ought to stand on the things that God is speaking to us as we mature in faith. And so I have Luke here. He's got shades on for those of you that love the beach. I kind of love going to the beach, but the worst thing I hate about it is you always bring it back home with you. And I don't like all that sand. But even in this moment of being at the beach, you can spend time in God. If you ever get a chance to just, some of you probably, you know, you wake up before the rooster crows and before the rooster gets up. You get up really early. If you ever get a chance to go to the beach for sunrise, you know, Lydia, she loves to do this. And I don't ever remember ever taking her to the beach that early. The kids were always like, can we go a little bit later? But we never took the kids to the beach that early to see the sunrise. But somehow she's gotten to where she loves that moment to be at the beach to start off the day with God. And in that moment, some of you probably like, as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, you like fishing, like Caleb. You like fishing. In that moment, while you cast that line in the water and while you're waiting to whatever, you know, bites on your bait or you know, takes your bait, or you don't, you just reel it back in. And then you, this is one of the reasons why I don't really find joy in fishing, because I never catch any. I feed them. I don't fish. I feed the fish. And so I just cast a line, and then just to have nothing and reel it back, and I got no bait on it. I got to rebait it. And I don't find fun in that. But for some people, they love to fish because it's them in nature, them in God. They get to talk to God. They get to see, you know, birds flying, or the fact that they get to catch fish. Thank you, God, you know. And so they have moments with that, with God. So I'm encouraging you to cultivate moments with God, because they don't happen automatically. They do not happen automatically, especially when you wake up and your feet, when as soon as they hit the floor, they're running. You got to cultivate that. You got to grow in that. You got to make sure that you're spending time with God. So Numbers chapter 20, verse 6, it says, so Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly of the door of the tabernacle of meeting, the tent of meeting, and they fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take a rod and your brother Aaron, and gather the congregation together. Speak to the rock. This is where he messed up. He was supposed to speak to the rock. This is why it's important that we spend time in his presence, because he'll remind us of what he told us before. Holy Spirit will bring to our remembrance what God has spoken to us. But God told him to speak to the rock so that the water, wouldn't that be awesome that you speak to a rock that's just a big boulder and you say, come forth, water, you know, or turn on, you know, and the water gushed out and it came out. And it was for the people to drink and even their animals. But you know, the problem was, is that Moses, he didn't speak to the rock. He hit it twice with the rod. He was supposed to have the rod in hand and speak to it. That was God's instructions. And this was the reason why he didn't make it into the promised land. In verse 12, the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me to hallow me or honor me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. I know for certain that the necessity of God's presence, being in his presence, perfects me. I'm not perfect. Shannon can attest to you, I'm far from it. But I'm not perfect. But it perfects things in me when I'm in his presence. When I cultivate and make time for him and I spend time in his presence, my daily decisions for living are impacted, are affected because of my presence or because of his presence, and I'm spending time in it. James chapter 1, verse 20. I've shared this many times over the years. A verse that really has helped cultivate in who I am, because not of me, but because of God and because of his presence, because of his word. James chapter 1, verse 20 says, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. I had that verse, and I wrote it on a piece of paper, and I taped it to my mirror, and I learned that verse, not just to know it or to quote it, but to actually apply it to my life. Now, can you say, Pastor, have you ever exploded? I can't tell you no anymore. Or I can't tell you no, not anymore, but there are times that I do, but I repent. But I when I repent and I go back to this verse, I say, thank you, God, help me. For the wrath of man does not give evidence to the glory of God, the righteousness of God. So the people were now scared because God said that they would not go up with them. And so they ended up being stiff-necked. Exodus 33, verse 5. For the Lord had said to Moses, say to the children of Israel, you are stiff-necked people. I could come up into your midst in the one moment and consume you. Now, therefore, take off your ornaments that I may know what to do to you. The taking off the ornaments was just a physical display of God, I surrender, or God, I take this off because the outer, what I have on the outside, my jewelry is not valuable, it's not important. What's important is on the inside. And they realized what they did was wrong, and they showed a sign of repentance. You guys can have a seat now. Thank you. I just wanted to make that clear that you guys were having presence with God and that you were in the tent of meeting. Thank you. So Exodus chapter 33, verses 7 through 11. Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the tabernacle of meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle that all the people rose, and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. So I just want to picture this. You guys can see this tent, right? All of you back there, you can see the tent. All of you back there, you can see the tent. I kind of wanted to just kind of give us an idea that when people stood outside their tent, of course, they didn't have houses. They're in the wilderness. They didn't build houses. They just had tents, makeshift, you know, tents. I'm not sure if anybody had any cardboard tents, but they just had tents. They were able to see Moses when he walked up to the tent of meeting, tabernacle, the smaller version of the tabernacle, the mobile version of the tabernacle. When they saw him go in, they would begin to worship in front of their tent. I challenge you that in your home, it would be a place of meeting as well, not just here at the church. But at the front door of your home, I'm not sure how many of you have ever thought about this, but if you ever feel compelled that there's something going on in your house, open your front door and begin to rebuke whatever unrighteousness or whatever attack of the enemy. Open your front door. Go out the back door if you want to and begin to anoint your door. I love that one part in the movie of the war room and how that lady just started to just go to town and she, you know, began to speak to the enemy, and I rebuke you and you won't have my, I encourage you to do more of that when you feel the necessity to. And then every day begin to praise the Lord through your house. I don't recommend that you do what the scripture says that the Israelites did, that they wrote script, that they wrote on the doorposts or on the walls of their house. Don't graffiti your house. I don't really condone that, but begin to praise the Lord. Put scriptures around your house. Maybe you have things, you know, scriptures hanging on your wall. And so I encourage you for you to do that. But it says here that Moses was in the tabernacle of meeting and everybody was at the door of their own tent, and they began to worship God as they saw Moses go in to meet with God. Moses didn't go in to meet with God for himself. Moses went in to meet with God for everybody else. So it was whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle, all the people rose, and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. All the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and worshiped each man in his tent door. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend, and he would return to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. A young man. Young people, spend time, cultivate that time in the presence of God. Stay in the presence of God. Slide three. My next point is this: God's presence changes us both spiritually and physically. Here we find in Exodus 34, verse 29, "Now it was so when Moses came down from Mount Sinai and two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him." God's presence will change you, both spiritually and physically, if you allow it to. If you cultivate your day, your time, that you make time with him. And you allow his presence and his word to change you. It will change you both physically and spiritually. Verse 30, "So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shined, and they were afraid to come near him. Then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him. Moses talked with them, and afterward all the children of Israel came near. And he gave them as commandments all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And he would come out and speak to the children of Israel, whatever he had been commanded." And here was really interesting, because as I'm reading, where because of the glory of God, that Moses had to put a veil over his face. The evidence of being with God, there was a veil from there was a veil from the evidence of being with God, his face shining, and the rest of the people. I'm so thankful that Jesus, the glory of God, that Jesus tore the veil. Now, he didn't actually go down and tore, but when he died, the veil was torn. So now the glory of God doesn't have to be covered and kept away from us. I'm thankful for what Jesus did. Is that because of his death and because of paying for our sins, that the veil being torn, now we can be in the presence of God, be impacted by the glory of God, reveal the glory of God coming out of us. And that it's just an amazing thing that Moses, he didn't even realize this, But people, now go back to that one slide. I believe it was way cooler than this. Slide three. I believe it was way cooler than this, you know, cartoon looking picture reveals it to be. The fact that his face was shining because he was in the presence of God. We can radiate his presence and his glory. Because of Jesus, we don't have to put a veil on. Other people are able to see Jesus in us, the glory of God coming from us. And so I'm thankful for what Jesus has done. Verse 35, and whenever the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shined, then Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. And go to slide four. This is a prayer that I ask that as we prepare our hearts, sometimes I make it really big and then sometimes I make it really small. But I'm going to read that prayer to you. And it says, Lord, we declare that your presence is our priority. We need your presence in everything that we do. We know that we can do nothing of eternal significance without your presence. Help us to cultivate our days where we prioritize those special moments with you. May your glory shine on us as we reflect Christ to the world. Create time for this special moment that you have, that he makes possible for you to have with him. Learn how to make that time by application, not thinking about it. Grow from those moments that you are with him. Don't go backwards when you fall. Just get up and keep moving. Ask the Lord to forgive you and keep moving. Paul says this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. It meaning I have not, I'm not totally perfect. I am not there yet. But I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. God is calling you. God is calling you to follow him. God is calling you that your life would proclaim that Jesus saves, that your life would reveal the glory of God. Verse 15, let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. Listen, if you don't see yourself spiritually mature, you can get there. Just don't go backwards. Just keep moving forward. Paul says, I press forward. He understands that he hasn't achieved it yet. We're not in heaven yet. So let's continue to move forward and not go backwards. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. I love how my mother-in-law says, trust God to get through to you what he wants you to know. How many of you ever experienced conviction by the Holy Spirit? You know God can get through to you. He can convict you of some of the things you said or some of the things you did. So believe that God will make it plain to you. Verse 16, but we must hold on to the progress we've already made. And thanks be to God that in this moment of being in spending time with him, the tent of meeting, that in that moment I can be changed. In that moment, I can be changed both spiritually and physically. Spiritually so that I can mature in faith, physically so that the glory of God would be evident in my life.